Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will bring part two of a short series from the book of Proverbs on parenting.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
Deuteronomy 6 is one of the more famous passages in all the Bible. In verses 1 through 9, it says this: "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Boy, last week we started talking about parenting from Proverbs, and this text in Deuteronomy 6, written by Moses to the children about to go into the promised land, is so rich with challenges that our children and our grandchildren need to be taught. They need instruction. Oh, how children need instruction. We as adults need it too. But in America, for the most part, we have a problem. Most Americans are biblically illiterate. And we need to go back to a Deuteronomy 6 lifestyle of teaching God's truth to our children. Let's not blame the government, the school system, or even the church. Let's take biblical education back to our homes. Edward L.R. Elson, in an article called "Wide Was His Parish" from Christianity Today, wrote this: "In early America, home was a sanctuary of worship. The father was the priest of his own household. The open Bible was a source book for Christian worship, the textbook for his education, and the inspiration for the establishment of his political institutions. We have not outlived the need for the open book, for the message of God in and through the family, and for the spiritual discipline of prayer. Perhaps we would be better people now if the home were still honored as a sanctuary of worship." What a great quote. What is the future of our country? What is the future of our churches? You know what the future is? It's our children. And last week we read from Psalm 127 that they are a gift, a reward, a blessing. And we desperately need the Lord and His sovereign grace in their lives to bring about a changed life. We desperately need God's wisdom in raising our children. And His wisdom is available to us through His word and prayer. Last week, we looked at some worldly wisdoms and incorrect assumptions. We looked at wisdom's insights. And today, we're going to look now at wisdom's instructions. What we're going to talk about today is going to require a lot of work. Training our children is exhausting and at times incredibly frustrating. But the alternative is worse. Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." We don't want to raise foolish children. We want to do everything we can on our part to raise wise children. So what is wisdom's instruction from the book of Proverbs? Well, we constantly teach our children something, whether it's good or bad. Let's teach wisdom. So as I've read the Proverbs for many years, and I've for many, many years made it a habit to read one chapter of Proverbs every day, so I read through the whole book every month, combine that with five of the Psalms, and you read through Psalms and Proverbs every month. It's a wonderful thing to expose my life to the wisdom of God. But in the Bible, in Exodus 20, God gave Moses 10 commandments. And so today I want to give you my top 10 things that we should teach our children from Proverbs. We're not going to get through all of them today. I'm not even sure how many of them we're going to get through, but we'll eventually get through all 10. The first one of the 10 is teach our children to fear the Lord. This comes up so often in Proverbs, in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 14, and chapter 15, and 16, and 19, and 21. It goes all the way through to chapter 29. Fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord becomes the foundation for everything else we will teach them. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. See, the fear of the Lord prepares our children for the other things we will teach them. Then what is this fear of the Lord? Well, the word fear that is used here refers to a reverence and an awe. It's a healthy respect for the awesomeness of God. Our children need to know that God is awesome. Man did not make God in man's image. God made us. He is the creator, the sustainer. He is the awesome, omnipotent one. And they need to know God is the one who is the sovereign ruler of the entire universe. And he is their personal creator and sustainer. He is the all-knowing and all-wise one. And they are eternally accountable to him. They must listen to what he has to say about every area of life because he is always right. Well, I've been wrestling for many years through what this concept of the fear of the Lord is exactly and how we can make it work practically. And a man that I met one time wrote his doctoral dissertation in a seminary on the fear of the Lord. He concluded this, "The fear of the Lord means to practice the presence of the Lord, to learn that he is there all the time. Everywhere you go, every thought you think, every word you say, whether it's in a dark room where you think you're alone or it's out in public, he is there. And he is aware of everything going on, your thoughts, your motives, your behaviors, all the time. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good." Proverbs 16, 2, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." You see, this is an exhortation because the Bible tells us that God will chastise his children if they're disobedient. You see this clearly in Hebrews 12. But this is also an encouragement because the Bible tells us that God will reward our obedience. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil." Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." Listen, my friend, don't you want riches, honor, and life for your children? Don't you want them to sleep satisfied? God's word tells us then they need to fear the Lord. In fearing the Lord, we need to teach them that yes, you're accountable to God and he knows everything. He knows every sin you ever commit. So learn to confess your sin quickly and repent of it. Don't make excuses. Don't rationalize it away. And don't just simply say to God, kind of like they do to their brother or their sister when they've been caught doing something, "I'm sorry." You ever had your kids do that? You apologize to your sister, "I'm sorry." You know they don't mean it. They're just verbalizing it. Teach your children to mean it. This is a God who loves you. This is a God who knows if you're sincere. Don't rationalize. Don't just say the words. Truly confess and truly repent. What does repent mean? It's a change of your heart, your mind, and your lifestyle. "God, I am so sorry for what I just did, and I don't want to be that way anymore. Please empower me to change. Give me the ability to act differently next time." Proverbs 28:13-14 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. How blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." The Westminster Shorter Catechism in question 87 says, "What is repentance unto life?" The answer, "Repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience." Do you catch that? A couple things stand out to me. One, the motive for repentance is not only sorrow for sin, but a sense of the mercy of God in Christ. You see, we have zero motivation to repent unless we see the mercy of God awaiting us. Not the slap of God, but the embrace of God. Repentance is not just turning from sin, not even that primarily. Repentance is primarily turning to God, moment by moment, because He's promised His mercy to the penitent. So teach our children that God wants them to come to Him and confess and repent, and He'll grant mercy. Secondly, the outcome of repentance is not a restored status quo. It's not going back to normal. The outcome of repentance is a radical transformation of your child's heart. True repentance leads to a new obedience, an unprecedented obedience, perhaps even an unheard of obedience. They're going to be different now. They're not going to go down that road again. They're going to live life on fire for God. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil." So teach your children to fear the Lord by precept and by example. Model for them repentance. Model for them brokenness. Model for them running to God to receive His grace and mercy because you know you need Him. Let them see that that's normal for human beings, so that they will fear the Lord and practice His presence and live differently than other kids around. So first, we teach our children to fear the Lord. The second thing to teach our children is to love and seek knowledge and wisdom. This is all through the Proverbs. You can't miss this one. Proverbs 24, verse 13 and 14 says, "My son, eat honey, for it is good. Yes, the honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is thus for your soul. If you find it, then there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." Proverbs 3 talks about this as well in verses 13 through 26. "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her." He goes on later that says, "So they will be life to your soul." And it says, "Securely your foot will not stumble." And verse 24, "You will not be afraid and your sleep will be sweet." Do you get this? Wisdom is worth seeking. It's life-altering. It's profoundly beautiful to your child. Teach them to love it and to seek it and to pursue it with all they have. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge. This is the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we're in the midst of a short series on parenting from the book of Proverbs. We are wanting our children, first, to fear the Lord, and secondly, to love wisdom and knowledge. Teach them the love of learning. Teach them to keep learning all their lives. Model this yourself. You keep reading. You keep studying. You keep listening to podcasts. You keep listening to the sermons so they can see that you love learning as well. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." You've never learned it all. There is so much to learn. Keep on learning, keep on reading, and show your children they need to keep pursuing wisdom, especially in a world that's being progressively more foolish. How do you model this? By reading. One man said, if you want to be a leader, you've got to be a reader. If you want your children to be followers, have them not read. If you want them to lead the pack toward righteousness, get them to be readers. Model this by taking notes at church and then prayerfully applying them later. Go home and talk to your children about what they learned at church, about what you learned at church, and then tell them where to find knowledge and wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Again, take them back to this idea that if you fear God and reverence Him, He will begin to teach you things. Go to God's Word to find wisdom. Proverbs 13:13, "The one who despises the Word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded." Proverbs 16:20, "He who gives attention to the Word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Go to your parents to find wisdom. Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 23 says, "It's the commandment of your father and the teaching of your mother that they ought to bind continually around their neck and on their heart. When they walk about, it'll guide them. When they sleep, it'll watch over them. When they awake, it will talk to them. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." teach them to seek and love wise counsel. They don't need to always just go to you. They can go to other godly people. They can go to elders in their church. They can go to their Sunday school teacher. They can go to so many people and seek biblical wisdom and guidance. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Have them go and talk to the wisest people that you know. Listen, we should get rid of the generation gap, especially in the church. Children ought to realize that the older saints, the gray-haired people in the congregation, often have so much to offer them. And they should go to them and develop a relationship and ask questions of them, learn from them of what they did right and what they did wrong, and glean wisdom. Teach them also to love reproof. Proverbs 10, verse 17, he is on the path of life who heeds instruction, but he who ignores reproof goes astray. Now, I'll be honest. I don't like it when people come up and confront me. You probably don't either. I don't like being told I've done something stupid. But listen, if we don't appreciate that and train ourselves to humbly receive that, we will keep doing foolish things. So teach them to go to God, go to their parents, go to the Word, go to wise counselors, and receive reproof so that they can grow in wisdom. So we teach them to fear the Lord, love and seek wisdom. Then the third thing to teach our children is to honor and obey their parents, but not only their parents, but all authority. You see this in Proverbs 5, verse 7 and 7:24, chapter 8, verse 6 and 32, chapter 13, verse 1, 19:20, 20:20, 23:19, 23:22. So many verses talking about this. Well, what is honor? Not much we understand more in our culture, is it? The word honor, the Hebrew word, means heavy. Means it's important, it's valuable to you. And speaking of the godly wife and mother, Proverbs 31, 28 through 31 says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. A godly mom should be honored, praised, respected, revered, valued, esteemed, prioritized, to the point that children should be committed that when their mom and dad are old, we're going to do whatever we've got to do to take care of them. We will provide for them if that's what's needed because we honor our parents. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen, our children need to understand, from God's perspective, if they don't honor their parents and don't honor those in authority over them, there are consequences. Proverbs 20, verse 20, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. God's not going to bless you if you dishonor your parents. We're not doing this to our kids simply because we want to have our way or we want to be revered. We're doing this because this is what God says. And if they learn to obey and respect us, they'll transfer that to other authorities in their life. And they'll learn to understand that blessing and protection comes from God when you are under authority. Proverbs 5, verse 7, Solomon tells his son, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 8, 6, listen, for I will speak noble things. The opening of my lips will reveal right things. Parents are trying to give good information to their kids, and the kids must be held accountable to listen and do what they're taught. Teach them to honor all authority, government leaders, teachers, police, employers, managers, church leaders, and then teach them to respect people and property. All people, no matter how old or young, no matter what color, no matter what language, no matter what culture they come from, no matter if they're rich or poor, all people are created in God's image and to be respected. And property should be valued and properly taken care of. One of the things we often said to our kids, if you break it, you bought it. And we held them to that. If they broke a window, they had to pay for it. If they did something, they were going to have to do chores, but they're going to learn to respect people and property. The fourth thing we teach our children is to control their body, mind, and emotions. You see all this through Proverbs, but we already spoke of the mind, the loving wisdom, the learning and reading. But when your mind is now biblically trained, it needs to help you get control of your body and emotions. The Bible speaks of this often when it uses the term sluggard, the lazy person. You must overcome laziness. And Solomon harps on this over and over and over again in chapter 6 and 10 and 12 and 13 and 15 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21, 22 and 26. Be diligent. Get up when the alarm goes off. Do what you're supposed to do, even when you don't feel like it. Train our children to live that way. And then when they've got control over that, when their biblically guided mind is now getting control over their mind and emotions, then teach them to control themselves sexually. And this comes up a lot in Proverbs. In the first 9 chapters, it comes up over and over and over again. In chapter 5, verse 20 through 23, there's the warning about the foreigner, this woman, this adulteress who's going to lead you down the wrong path. In chapter 9, there's a woman of folly, and the naive turn into her. Listen to me. Our children today are struggling with all kinds of sexual sins. Our culture is promoting it and then not even realizing the consequences. We need to warn our children. Sexual sin has consequences. It always does. And they need to learn that. There's a lot of great resources out there. If your children are struggling with pornography and other sexually related sins, there's so many resources. Go to your pastor and ask him for the things that will help you. A good book, a good workbook, a video series, etc., that you can help train your children to love purity. And then teach them to control what they put into their bodies. Don't be a glutton or a drunkard, it warns in Proverbs 28:7 or 23, verse 20 through 21. So many passages here that teach that. And then teach them to control their emotions. Proverbs 25:28, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Proverbs 29:11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Teach your children self-control, 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 mind, emotions, and body. Now the fifth thing, we'll end with this one today. Teach your children to watch their words. Perhaps in the future I'll be able to do some longer messages on this. It's a vital thing. But there's a couple things they need to be focused on. Number one, watch the content. Your choice of words. Any fool can use foul language. Any fool can say the things that are being said in our culture. Be better than that. My mom always used to tell me, you can have a bigger vocabulary than that. You don't need to resort to using foolish words like that. So watch the content, but then watch the tone. I found this poem that I think is encouraging. Listen to this carefully. I ran into a stranger as he passed by. Oh, excuse me, please, was my reply. He said, please excuse me too. I'm sorry I wasn't watching for you. We were very polite, this stranger and I. We went on our way and we said goodbye. But at home, a different story is told, how we treat our loved ones, young and old. Later that day, cooking the evening meal, my son stood still beside me, very still. When I turned, I nearly knocked him down. Move out of the way, I said with a frown. He walked away, his little heart broken. I didn't realize how harshly I'd spoken. While I lay awake in bed, God's still small voice came to me and said, while dealing with a stranger, common courtesy you use, but the family you love, you seem to abuse. Go and look on the kitchen floor. You'll find some flowers there by the door. Those are the flowers he brought for you. He picked them himself, pink, yellow, and blue. He stood very quietly, not to spoil the surprise. You never saw the tears that filled his little eyes. By this time, I felt very small, and now my tears began to fall. I quietly went and knelt by his bed. Wake up, little one, wake up, I said. Are these the flowers you picked for me? He smiled. I found them out by the tree. I picked them because they're pretty like you. I knew you'd like them, especially the blue. I said, son, I'm very sorry for the way I acted today. I shouldn't have yelled at you that way. He said, oh, mom, that's okay. I love you anyway. I said, son, I love you too. And I do like the flowers, especially the blue. Oh, people, let's teach our children by exhortation and by example.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. Pastor Paul would love for you to join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, where he is currently teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We have a fantastic children's program during the worship service, and then Sunday school for nursery through adults at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more about our church, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. On our website, you can listen to past sermons and radio broadcasts. And please, join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA as Pastor Paul will continue our study of Proverbs with the critically important number 6 of the 10 things we should teach our children.